It's the news according to me. It's the news according to me. Cue the music. It's the news according to me. Well, greetings once again. It is I, your host for the news according to me, because I'm me, and it's the news according to me. That's what it is. It's not the news according to you or the news according to somebody else. It's the news according to me, and I'm the me. So that's the way that works. So I have no cup. All I have is I had a bottle of water here somewhere, and I don't know what happened to it. So I might dry up before this is over. A couple things in the news. I might as well talk about this. There's a couple things we're going to talk about. One is the whole course. I have to talk about Afghanistan. Some of the things we're seeing coming out of Afghanistan right now and everything that's going on there. And I would be amiss if I did not at least have some kind of discussion about it. Because it appears to be a tragedy unfolding before our eyes here. And this didn't have to happen this way. I'm all for the idea of getting out of this war that we've been in for 20 years and has become a policing action over there. And I'm just, I have to say, I'm very I'm very upset about the current administration and their lack of competence. I think it's pretty obvious. They don't care about our soldiers. They don't care about anybody. They care about themselves and their power. That's all they care about. Joe was originally saying he wasn't going to be available for a while. He's come out today, and he did make a speech. I'll call it a speech. In which he proceeded to make a fool of himself, in my opinion. It's the things he was saying are absolutely atrocious. Now, he says the buck stops with him. Whatever. And it does. It definitely does. He's in a position that he shouldn't be in, first of all. He's got no business being there. As I watched him read his little speech thing, he was staring at the teleprompter, like laser focused on this thing. He has to try so hard and concentrate so hard on what the teleprompter is telling him to say that he almost can't. It's disgusting. And he can't hardly even say the word. He has to focus so hard and concentrate so hard just to say the words that are on the teleprompter. And he still slurs his speech. Because he is so inept right now. The man, just a few days ago. Was it July 9th? Whatever it was. It wasn't that long ago. He was telling us that there's the Afghan army is 300,000 strong. They have their own air force. All of which it makes you wonder if he's getting any kind of real information from the ground. He's got to be making this stuff up. I have a problem believing that some of the generals, I don't know, I'm not so sure about all of them, but that the generals and the intel people would have given him such bad information. Misled him so poorly, somebody's getting briefed by people who know something, but they're by the time it gets to him, maybe or I don't know what's going on. It's all I can tell you is the whole administration is incompetent, as we see what's going on there. We were told flat out blank by Mr. Blankenship or whatever his name is. I don't know. The State Department guy. Is he Secretary of State? I think he might be Secretary of State. I don't know. Anyway, he He told us flat out, it's not going to happen from Friday to Monday. And that's exactly what happened. Kabul fell from Friday to Monday. Place is descending into chaos. And it didn't have to happen this way. They had this anniversary date of September 11th that they wanted to get us out of there. Everything removed by September 11th. That's why we're drawing down completely. Now we're sending troops back to get everybody out. It's just absolutely atrocious what's going on there. They expected the Taliban to take back over again within 90 days. Right, at the soonest, 90 days, I think is what they said. Could be a year. Yeah, well, that's not, you know, that's not what happens. It's happening over there. Without the support of the U.S. military, the Afghan military really had no will to fight. And they're just giving up. So, having said all that, and everything that's going on, I don't want to just jump on the bandwagon and say all the talking points that everybody else is saying. I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of people who are there and what's going on there. You know, they've said, the Taliban has said before about the United States, you may make all the clocks, but we have all the time. In other words, you can come in here with your gadgets and your stuff. All we have to do is wait you out. And that's exactly what they did, 20 years. Waited them out for 20 years. And they just swooped in, took over. Now, part of me believes that this thing is going to go crazy in terms of Taliban's back in power, but I think I keep hearing the word civil war in Afghanistan. And I believe that the Taliban itself is going to fraction. Now, Al-Qaeda and the Taliban did not necessarily get along that well. They let a lot of people out of prison over there who were Al-Qaeda fighters, the ISIS individuals. And I believe that out of all of this, there is either going to be a hybrid that happens out of all this, because over the years, the next generation has changed. So maybe they may combine, become something else. But the ISIS and Al-Qaeda and Taliban fighters' philosophy and ideologies could become fractioned. I'm sure there are a lot of people over there within the group who are trying to decide who's going to be the big cheese. And you probably have people who follow certain individuals and other people who follow certain individuals. There's going to be a lot of chaos, infighting. That's my prediction. I don't know that for a fact. I don't know that much about the history of the place. All I know is I know the nature of people. Now, speaking of the nature of people, there is something else I want to talk about. And I have a recording of something that I want to play in a little bit, if I can. I actually can't play it over the. I can't play it over the. Equipment here. I'm on my laptop. I'm in Appleton, Wisconsin, by the way. It is right now. It's currently Monday, August 16th. Headquartered at 9:46 p.m. on Eastern Time. 8:46 p.m. in local time here. And I'm going to be getting back home, I think, tomorrow evening, I believe. That's the plan, anyway. Now, there's a thing that is the nature of people, I think. I want to talk a little bit about slavery. Now, most people, if you're listening to this in the United States, if you've been educated in public school, most individuals think of slavery within our own sphere of understanding. By that, what I mean is, in the United States, we think of slavery as, you know, what happens. I think it started 1619, and then it went to 18, you know, till the Civil War. And that's the formal understanding of what slavery is. When you talk about slavery, people think of that. And they think that only, you know, African Americans were enslaved. They're the ones with this slavery experience. And it was all the United States were was the worst, you know, most evil country that did all that. Now, one thing to understand is that slavery really was brought about while the country was not, I mean, it started well before that this nation was declared its independence from England. There were slaves in England as well, you know. Under the king, or the queen, or whatever there was, under British rule, there was slavery. Now, I'm not saying that the Americans, people who were here, the Europeans, had no, you know, yeah. What I'm trying to get at here, and this is a tough subject for me to talk about, because I'm white and supposedly I have, you know, implicit bias. I have all these other issues. I don't have a voice about slavery because, you know, I'm not black, so I can't talk about slavery. Well, let me hopefully what I would like to do is hopefully drop a few things that I think are truth bombs on you here in a minute. There was slavery prior to the European experience here in this country. In fact, in North America, there were Indian tribes that enslaved other Indian tribes. Now, I'm calling them Indian tribes because this is prior to when we called them Native Americans. There were Native American tribes that enslaved other Native Americans. There is this mentality that it almost disgusts me. And I've heard this coming from professors from colleges since I was in my 20s. I visited a couple of colleges once. I had some friends at this one college, and I went into one of their little optional classes. It was an evening little get-together thing. This guy was telling stories about Indians and the Native Americans. They called them Indians even then. They were so insensitive about it. But this was the beginning of wokeism back in the 80s. These professors who had some higher knowledge, they were higher, some more sophisticated in understanding, their higher understanding of in their higher education. This guy was talking about the Native Americans and how they treated the white man. They said the white man came over here and they were digging the land, and they were digging and they were doing things, and the Indians would say, the Native Americans would say, "Oh, you're hurting the earth. You know, you shouldn't do that to the earth. You shouldn't hurt the earth." Because these, you know, Native American tribes that were here were just so, you know, in touch with nature. They lived symbiotically with the world, with the earth. No, that's not the case at all. On its face, that is such baloney. If you look at the history, such as the Incas, this is not North America, this is down another part of the world, one of the largest Native American tribes, whether it's Central America, South America, whatever it is, when you talk about one of the largest native peoples, what they call, I guess they call them aboriginals. The Native Americans. There's all kinds of rhetoric and craziness running around about different kinds of things. And this one lady here, I've recorded this one little speech that this, and I recorded it, I play stuff on YouTube in usually 1.2 times faster or 1.5 times faster sometimes, so that I can listen to more video in less time. Because a lot of times people just talk, much like myself. And maybe some of you listen to this podcast in faster time, which is fine, because I understand I'm kind of melodramatic sometimes. I stretch out my speech. So if you play it faster, it just sounds like you're talking about it fast. And you get all the content in less the time. So that's all the filler stuff. You just have to, forget that. I completely understand, and that's okay. So this lady's talking about, she discovers that there were Native Americans that owned slaves, black slaves, African-American slaves, Africans. And she was stunned by this fact, and she was kind of interested in this, and she was talking about it. And one of the things she says in this, as she's talking about, she says, being black is, I like being black, and I'm all black, and I'm black. Being black is a gold star for me. She's very proud of being black. That's fine, and I'm fine with that. Let me ask you, if I were to get on YouTube and say I'm very proud about being white. Being white is a gold star to me. I'm proud to be white. It's good to be white. I'm proud of it. Well, now all of a sudden I'm a racist. I'm a white supremacist. If I say that kind of thing. And she can say it because she has no, quote, institutional power, according to her. Now, I don't know what you consider institutional power. I'm not sure exactly what you mean by that. When you have, just not too so long ago, we had a president who was black, or half black. And there are many cities, in fact, there are some states that have mostly black leadership. There are cities. Okay, let's just take Chicago, for example. Mayor Lightfoot, black. Most of her cabinet, black. Most of the police department, black. And they have no institutional power? Are you telling me they have no institutional power? So they can't be racist. So they can say that they're racist superior to the white man. And that's not racist because they have no institutional power. Mayor Lightfoot can say she's not taking any more interviews from white reporters because she needs to take more interviews from people of color. That's not racist, no. Even though she's basing her quota of interviews on the color of your skin. But that's not racist, apparently. Only because she's talking about people of color and not black people or not white people. She's pushing out white people specifically. So it blows my mind when I hear this kind of double talk, hypocrisy, which it is. It completely is hypocrisy, by the way. So as we go down this road, continue to go down this road, it amazes me that some people will talk the way they do. And I'm going to try to play this. Hopefully this sounds okay. I'm going to pull this up and here she is.
I'm in school full time, and one of my current classes is education and public policy class. And I was reading in my book something very interesting, and I just wanted to share this video because I'm always doing, whenever I find out something, especially when it is focused on my community, if it's very interesting, I want to do a video on it. And this was very interesting that I read. So you know how in the black community, in our community, I don't know about the North, but definitely in the South, black people love to claim that they have Native, or the proper term is Aboriginal, in their blood. Like, I'm mixed with, they'll say, I'm mixed with Indian, I'm mixed with Indian. Which one is annoying, because I am so proud to be Black. Like, that is the top. I did my DNA and I have a bunch of like stuff in my background, but knowing that I am Black, that is like the gold star for me. Like, oh, I don't care about anything else. Just knowing that I am a Black girl is the gold star for me. But in my book, I was reading that,
but that's not racist.
Cherokee Indians, they actually own slaves. Did you all know that? I'm sure a lot of people actually didn't know that. Or maybe I was in the dark. I didn't know it. So what happened is, as you know, in America, when the colonizers came and took the land from the Aboriginal people, there were many tribes actually who tried their hardest to fight them off. They didn't have the fighter power that the colonizers had, which is one of the reasons why they were defeated. Big shout out to the Seminole tribe, because they are one of the only tribes that refused to surrender. They were eventually pretty much wiped, like their tribe was pretty much slaughtered, but they were like, we're not surrendering to you guys. So shout out to them. But the Cherokee Indians, interestingly enough, they were one of the tribes who decided it's better to join them. If you can't beat them, join them. So they started to develop habits of the colonizer, the white man, and decided to learn how to speak like them, to be like them, to get rid of their natural ways to fit in more with white society. And fitting in, one of the things they decided to do was to own slaves. They owned thousands of African slaves, which is why there will be some Black people who do have Native heritage, because they, I'm sure there were, was mixing and raping and sleeping with during that time. But the Cherokee Indians owned our ancestors, okay? Maybe not mine in particular, maybe yours, but the fact is they owned Black slaves. So when you hear about a Native tribe, and I'm sure they're not the only one, who owned Black slaves, and then you have Black people out here saying, I'm mixed with Indian, it's like, you really sound, sorry, but not sorry, you sound ignorant. It's like, why would you want to claim something that was detrimental to the people from your past? I don't know, it doesn't sound smart to me. So this was a quick did you know video. I haven't done one of these in a while, since I did the one on the ice cream truck and the origins of the sound, how it came from like the minstrel shows, and how it was changed by RZA. He made like the new one to be more, you know, socially acceptable. If you all knew about this, leave it below. If I'm like lost in the dark, let me know if I'm one of the last. If you did not know about this and this is an interesting fact to you, make sure you let me know below. And if I read more interesting things, of course, I will be sure to share them all with you. I didn't know, so I'm sure a lot of other people didn't know, and I just wanted to share this little tidbit with you all. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. Hit that notification bell, and I will be back with more videos. Bye.
Okay. This woman is obviously sophisticated and very well educated individual, knows all about it, and she's obviously not racist. Has no, you know, hatred in her heart for the colonizers. I was, you know, just on its face. If you just listen to this lady and you think, okay, that's, well, that's fine. I'm glad she's, you know, whatever. If you stop and take a step back and think about the statements she's making, the attitude that she has in her heart, the understanding that she has and what she thinks is truth, it's very sad. It's a sad state of mind for her to be in. First of all, when we talk about slavery, let's just talk about this for a moment. There's almost no ethnic group on the planet that has not enslaved another ethnic group or their own people. Because people are people. Left to their own devices, they do incredibly immoral things. Now, let's be very clear. Before Columbus supposedly discovered America, before the Europeans came here and began to seek out as the New World, there are so many things that we are told in school that really weren't really quite right. There are other things that are being told in school that are really wrong, just flat out wrong, impossible on their face. I've heard well-educated professors say that there were over 100 million Indians, Native Americans, in North America when the white man came here. This is dang near impossible. The kind of infrastructure that would have been needed, the amount of food needed to be grown from simple farming to sustain 100 million people in this country, in North America alone, would have left almost no trees here. Their basics in the way that they survived would not have been possible. And there would have been enough foraging. There wouldn't have been enough live wildlife, animals. It could not have happened. We were being told when this country didn't even have 200 million people, I was still alive. I was already born when we crossed the 200 million people mark. And at that point, there were scientists and all these smart people telling us that there was not enough sustainable resources. We were overpopulating, and there wasn't going to be enough food by 1974 or whatever. I don't know, 1980. By 1980, we're going to run out of food. Couldn't grow enough food for 200 million people. Well, that was 40 years ago. Now we still have an abundance of food. But we have tractors, and we have all this, you know, high-tech stuff. We have massive, the food industry has become literally an industry. The Native Americans did not have that. The kind of man force and energy required to grow enough food for 100 million people is impossible. That it would have happened under Aboriginal tribes, Native Americans. So, first of all, let's start with that. Then let's go to this other issue. And this is at the heart of my issue. And it seems as if history didn't exist before, or there was no crimes, there was no bad people prior to the white man. And the white man is the only ethnic group on the planet who's ever done anything wrong, apparently. The African American, the Africans in Africa, long before the white man came to America, there were African tribes that had wars, raided, killed, raped, pillaged, and made slaves of other African tribes. This is a historic fact. There were Native American tribes that did the same thing. There are and were cannibals. It's estimated there's about 16 people groups left in the world who are considered unreached. One of the reasons that some of them are unreached is because they are cannibalistic. They live in remote areas that's where they live, and they're just unreached. That's where they live, and people have just left them there. They leave them alone because they don't trust anybody outside their tribe. There are missionaries that are trying to reach them, and it's an ongoing effort, but there's still that many. Small groups of people, but there's still that many. And my point is, we have a tendency to lock people into this idea that for some reason, I guess that, well, there's the white man is the only one who's ever done any of these atrocious acts. Not true. So before you get on your little high and mighty ideas of your people group is better than some other people group, or that you didn't have this history of issues in your group, that your natural ways were much better than the white man, or whoever, whatever group it is, whether you're white and you think Africans have a problem, whether you're African and you think Europeans have a problem. Look, everybody has problems. Everybody's ethnic group has done atrocious things to other ethnic groups and to their own ethnic groups. And I want to make that point because it's nobody's innocent here. Nobody. And I think that there's only one way to understand this. We've all fallen short. There's only one way to redemption out of all that. And if you've listened to my show at all, you know where I stand on that. So, I need to get that off my chest, because when I hear somebody talk like that, I think, okay, so what happens if I just replace the word black? If this was me saying these words, and I replace those words, the word black, with white, and said that's a gold star for me. Well, that sounds kind of racist to me. But you see, she can't be racist because she has no institutional power. Nobody defines that. They just throw it out there. Well, no, she can't be racist because blacks can't be racist because they have no institutional power. Really? Okay. I spent some time in Africa. I was in Nigeria. I saw groups who looked down on other groups, who fought against other groups, and who treated other groups very poorly. And if they could have, they would have enslaved them. And it does happen up north. There's actually now a militant group. It's called Boko Haram is now capturing women, and that's slavery. They're capturing them, and they're slave wives is what they are. They're capturing them to be their wives. So, and that's slavery. It's one of the worst kinds of slavery, in my opinion. So, that's all I wanted to say tonight, because I really needed to get that off my chest. And you'll probably hear me say it again and again, but when we make some kinds of statements like that, we tend to lock things into our own little world and go again. We get along and have these discussions and get all locked up into some of the things that we really need to have some perspective on. So that's really, that's pretty much the bulk of my conversation this evening. I want to thank you for listening, and I'm sorry it's kind of a heavy moment for me to talk about this kind of stuff right now, but, hey, I'm heavy because I'm gaining weight. That's what happens to me. I just want to help you kind of critically think, put things into perspective, because I don't think it's something that we don't get taught in public school. It's something that kids don't, they just go along with the rhetoric of the day. And I'm hoping that I can wake you up from that, help you see a different perspective, to change your paradigm, your point of view. And hopefully that helps for you to think about something like that. So, we use this statement, we're all in this together. We are. We need each other, regardless of what color you are, what your ethnic background is. We need to have respect for each other. Where we've come from. So I just want to leave you with that. I hope you have a great evening, great day tomorrow. Hopefully we'll have a show again tomorrow night, or maybe possibly Tuesday or Wednesday at least. God bless everybody. Have a wonderful evening. Thank you for listening. Thanks for subscribing and sharing this little speech. Have a great night.